Hello everyone. This is the translation of Jacques Peter Smith's message for Sunday the 21st of June. The reading is taken from Matthew chapter 9 verses 35 to 38 and Matthew chapter 10 verses 1 to 15, and I'm reading from the New International Version. For this Sunday, June the 21st, I suggest that we meditate on a well-known text of the Gospel of Matthew that is commonly called the sending out of the 12 disciples. I suggest this text because it is the text chosen by the Church for today and because our Church has a plan to become healthy and missionary. It is therefore interesting for us to watch how Jesus sends these 12 disciples on a mission to inspire them. This story is long. It takes the whole of Matthew chapter 10. We will meditate today on the beginning of the chapter and next Sunday on the end of the chapter. So let's read Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." And now, reading from Matthew chapter 10, 1 to 15. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles: first Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belts, no bag for the journey or extra shirt or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. Truly, I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town." This is the word of God. Part 1. You heard it. After having passed through the cities and the villages to announce the good news of the kingdom and to heal all disease and infirmity, Jesus is moved with compassion by seeing the crowds, because they seemed harassed and helpless, like wandering sheep without a shepherd. As the text says, then Jesus adds, "The harvest is plentiful and ripe, but there are not enough harvesters to bring it all in." After Jesus has passed through cities and towns, Jesus sees crowds ripe for the harvest. We can therefore say that crowds ripe for the harvest are harassed and helpless crowds. Surprising, isn't it? And yet, what can make us say that? To understand, we must return to the two words used in the text to characterize these crowds. They are harassed and helpless. The French translation used by Jacques uses the word languid and helpless. These two words express that these crowds are waiting, wanting something. To be languid is to be thirsty, to aspire. To be helpless is to admit that there is someone greater than oneself, that one is overwhelmed by what is happening. After the passage of Jesus, the crowds are in a demanding mood. They are wanting something else, and this other thing is called a shepherd. For Jesus, when one is in such need, it means that the harvest is ready. Come to think of it, we can very well understand it now. Nothing is worse than the absence of desire, the absence of need. No hunger, no thirst, because that generates indifference, as we can see in our current world. After going from town to town, Jesus deepened the need, the desire for him, the desire for the shepherd. They were like sheep who have no shepherd. Chapter 10 shows us, therefore, how Jesus sent his disciples into the Lord's harvest, and the harvest consists of the 12 to enter the cities, go to people's homes, and stay with them. In verses 11, 12, and 13, we read, "Whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you." When entering people's homes, it is a question of the 12 disciples responding to this lack of a shepherd manifested by the crowds, to respond to the desire of those who are in need of something else, those who lack God. At the end of the chapter, listen to what Jesus said to the 12 in conclusion. "He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me." For these crowds who lack a shepherd, to receive the 12 at home is to receive the one towards whom they have desire, that is to say, the shepherd. And these crowds who lack a shepherd is what the text means by being worthy. To be worthy is nothing other than a person or a household that is in demand of God. And Jesus asked the 12 disciples to seek out these people and to stay with them. "And if those living there welcome you, let your peace rest upon the house. But if you are rejected, that blessing of peace will return upon you." You will have noticed that there is no reciprocal gift possible if people are not worthy or if the house is not worthy. It will be given only if people are requesting it, because otherwise it will not be possible for it to be given. Verses 13, 14. "And if the house is worthy, let your peace rest upon it. But if it is not worthy of it, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet." It's hard to admit that peace returns to the 12 disciples and that they are ordered to shake the dust off their feet. But this is so that the gift does not become a sham gift, to avoid a misunderstanding of what a real gift is. There can be no real gift unless people are asking for this gift. Jesus asks the 12 not to cheat in the relationship. The peace given to the house will return to them. They must leave even the dust that has stuck to their feet in the place that does not want them, to demonstrate that in this place there is no aspiration towards God. This inspires two remarks. First, in our evangelization, it is about going to those who are in demand of God, in demand of a relationship with others, and not to persist where there is no demand. On the contrary, vis-à-vis these people, it is our duty to refuse to give and receive, as Jesus asked the 12 to do. so as not to enter into a sham of giving. Secondly, as Jesus told the disciples, the harvest is great because the kingdom is near. On the contrary, it is difficult to hear this because we rather have the feeling that the harvest is small, especially in our Western society today. If we believe what Jesus said to the disciples and that the harvest is indeed great, it may mean that we are looking in the wrong place. So the question is not a small or large harvest, because it is large, but where the harvest is to be made. For Jesus, to reap is to live physically at the person's home and to live with him. To think about it, it is, in fact, to give the possibility of receiving someone to one who desires it, because by having this experience, it is Jesus whom he receives. It is not necessary to see you to imagine the expression you must be making, because I imagine that this is certainly the first time that you have heard that to evangelize, therefore to reap, is to dwell with others. If by the way someone dared to do it, they would certainly be called without embarrassment a parasite, a profiteer. And yet, to reassure you a little, the text shows us that the disciples are not going to do this in any old way. Jesus prepares them. And to know how, let's go back to the text. There are three stages in this preparation. First, Jesus asks his disciples to pray. Then he gives the 12 authority over unclean spirits. Finally, he sends the 12 to the towns and villages, asking them above all not to take anything with them. First of all, pray. Verse 38. Pray therefore to the Lord of the harvest to send workers into his harvest. Pray. To remind the disciples that they are going to work for a harvest that does not belong to them. Prayer as a decentering of oneself. It is for the disciples to enter into the project of another. It is for them to welcome another to be in the same posture as the people with whom they will reside. We can clearly see that the way of acting proposed by Jesus will require discernment. The harvest will not consist of burning everything down. The first recommendations of Jesus will consist in telling them where not to go. Do not go to the Gentiles and do not enter the cities of the Samaritans. We saw earlier that it was a question of the 12 going to people who desire God. These people are not easily identified. Jesus sees the languid and helpless crowds. The disciples must pray to be able to see like Jesus. The next thing, give. Jesus then gives authority to the 12 over unclean spirits. Jesus does not give authority to his disciples individually, but to his disciples as they constitute a structure, the 12 disciples. Here, one cannot ignore that the 12 will initiate the church. It is therefore in the germinating church that Jesus gives authority over unclean spirits. And this authority will allow them to chase away unclean spirits, to cure all illness and all infirmity. By giving them authority over unclean spirits, Jesus does not ask them to heal everyone. If this were God's plan for men, we would have known for a long time. It is a question of Jesus giving authority to the 12 only to unfetter men from everything that prevents them from their desire of God, from wanting something else. To put it another way, Jesus gives authority over unclean spirits to free people from their own selves so that they can be opened up to God. They will become a languid and helpless crowd like sheep who have no shepherd. It must be remembered that not all illnesses prevent us from desiring God. Sometimes it's even the opposite. There is finally one last thing before going to stay with people. Take nothing with you. we read in verses 9 and 10, "Do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belts, no bag for the journey or extra shirt or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep." For the 12, it's all about going to people's homes with nothing so that they can't give them anything. No money, no extra equipment, no theological concept, no religion. Going to people's homes is therefore not about bringing them the good word. The harvest does not consist of a transfer of the way things are done. You need something, and I have what you need, and I give it to you. Harvesting isn't about bringing something. It's not about bringing a message, a content. No, harvesting is about being with someone, and it's very different. To cause people to experience the benefit of welcoming another person, someone who is not oneself. Why is community so important to Christians? Because it is the place where they experience Christ. Harvesting consists in making those who ask for it experience what we live in the community. Harvesting has something paradoxical. It is to bring together two people who lack Christ. The only thing that the 12 can give is to unfetter, that is to say, remove what prevents someone from experiencing the reception of the other. And this is called in the text to cast out demons, heal, purify. "Heal the sick," says Jesus to the 12. "Raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You have freely received, freely give." Healing is not a result, but a prerequisite for harvesting. Evangelism is useless if there are not languid and helpless crowds. Let this story show us that evangelizing does not consist in bringing something to others, but that evangelizing consists in giving oneself to others, because by receiving us, it is Jesus that they receive. In the beautiful name of Christ, amen. Let's pray. Lord, as you ask the 12 before us, we ask you to send workers into your harvest. Lord, make us realize that this harvest is yours. We are only workers in your harvest. Open our ears to your voice and send us where you want us to go. Lord, give your church authority over unclean spirits so that our fellow human beings will be unfettered so that they may desire you. Lord, give us the strength not to equip ourselves, but on the contrary, to give ourselves to the one who desires you so that they can receive you. For this, Lord, make us like you. Lord, forgive us for every time when we thought we could do the work in your place. Lord, we give ourselves to you to better give ourselves to others. In your name, amen.